right. It's a good morning and welcome to the Tech Ego Show. This is a show where we look at the ins and outs. It's a show in which we look at the ins and outs in the, you know, the ups and downs of technology. And yesterday we were looking at data. You know, decisions that you make that should be data driven. You know, when you have information on what you, on the type of decision that you want to make. For example, I gave, you know, a scenario where, you know, towns or villages, you know, wants to be transformed into a village council, or settlements want to become village councils. To have a village council, then they apply to the Ministry of Urban and the you know, Rural Development. And then, you know, the application, everything goes approved. But at the end of the day, they are going to fall back to the ministry to say, please give us money because we are in debt. You know, we are in debt. Okay, this company brings, the other company, water company brings water in there. You are connected. You now start to pay, you know, services. You start now to provide, you know, services, but without data that would have governed you to say the people that you want to, the people to whom you want to provide these services cannot yet afford. They are not, you only have two people, 20 people in a settlement of 2,000 who can afford those services. So, and we also don't have statistics as to, you know, how much of an impact, you know, transforming a village into a settlement, what impact will it have on the people in that village? Because they are in, their economy is informal. You know, they depend on their homestead or field or crop field. And of course, there are some crop fields and homesteads that will be destroyed to give way to development. And because there is no statistic, there is no data, we go ahead and we bring in this huge development, investment, and shops. At the end of the day, you know, the people's economy is destroyed, and they'll be confined to, you know, few square meters, you know, of land, at least small square meters of land where they can only afford to build a shack. So nobody knows how much of a contribution, as far as poverty is concerned, does that have, you know, expansion into. And because we don't have that data, we will have made the wrong decisions. And that's what we've been talking about yesterday when we looked at the data. Now, we get to go now further on the issues of this data that we collect. Do we still have the data? you know, and I was listening to last week when there was a Disability Day, the president of, you know, in the Association of People with Disabilities, they're saying, no, they don't know how many they are. You know, they don't know how many people with disabilities are in the country. So, which means there's a lack of storage as far as data is concerned. The data is not stored. When it comes to cloud, you know, having cloud facilities and cloud technology is a country. When you have data storage, it helps you big time because, you know, if you went to the Ministry of Health office, for example, and you provided an ID, for example, if we have a national cloud facility, if you have a national database, once you go to the hospital, for example, and you enter, you give your ID and all that information about you, that information must be able to, the same information, if you register in the hospital, or let me say the child is born at the hospital, and they make a certificate for that child in the hospital, as soon as they enter the name of that child and as soon as that is processed, the Ministry of Home Affairs is no longer supposed to send you for a certificate, because that should just, you know, it should be in the national database. Once you go to apply for an ID, maybe there can be a code to say this is a code under your name. And once they search that code, they enter that code, they must be able to get your details that must qualify you to have, you know, to go through a smooth process of getting an ID, because you are having a cloud facility that is a national database. So you no longer need to be sent up and about to go and collect details that are supposed to be digitally available. So that's the role that cloud technology can play. You know, nowadays we are going from one office to the other. When you go, especially in the smaller towns, the Home Affairs there, they sent you the headman, the letter from the headman, letter from the church, letter from Y, letter from this, letter from that. But as soon as you are baptized, that baptism certificate should be digital with a code to say that if you are going to apply for an ID, you no longer need to take, it's just a code that is entered, just like when you go to the bank and you give your ID, they enter, they don't need anything else. You already have a file in there. So that's the importance of data, because you can collect data, but if this data is not processed and digital, you get to be losing and you'll be stuck on the manual system for years. So you will end up as a country, or you're not being tossed to and fro. You know, for a simple thing that can be done, and you have offices that have computers. Every office now has a computer. But we are struggling as a country to come up with a digitized database that can be used. That if you went to revenue, your name must already be on a national system. Once they enter your ID number, they must be able to download every document that they want about you. So they must be able to download every document that they want. Once your file pops up, it should be able to bring up all about you. And then they just download what they want. You know, they just download what they want. Maybe for safety purposes, you know, there will be some passwords, or however they will manage it to avoid, you know, people from getting into, you know, from being paid and getting all the details of, you know, because of this, because of political wars and all that, somebody may get other information that, you know, that may be used to violate the right to privacy. But when it comes to digital, you know, somebody must be able to log in the Ministry of Home Affairs, apply for a birth certificate while they are in their blankets. And somebody must be able to, you know, to get to the point where we can vote wherever we are without standing on the queue. You know, where people can vote. I know that one for politicians will be a concern. You know, if you have to digitize the voting system, because they'll be concerned about, you know, sovereignty. But the world is heading there, and cloud facility is, you know, it plays a vital role in also, you know, when it comes to the privacy and protection of privacy, if it is well managed. And the only problem will be, the only challenge will be that, you know, the question that will be asked is, who is this person that runs this storage facility? Where is this cloud? You know, who owns this cloud facility, or this cloud technology? That's the most crucial question. Is it a person inside the country out that we can summon if anything goes wrong? If information is leaked, violating somebody's privacy, is there anybody that can answer to it? Just like the, you know, the National Wealth Fund, the fund that is created, the Vilvicia Fund, that is going to be run by Bank of Namibia, you know. And maybe the cloud facility and the cloud technology must be run by, if not a private company inside Namibia, it should be run by the Ministry of ICT. You know, it should be run by the Ministry of ICT. The Ministry of ICT should be, you know, the custodian. So that if something, you know, they are able to answer. If anything. But if the problem will be if the technology is run somewhere in the Silicon Valley, or in China, or in India, or wherever, So if it is run there, then there is a concern. If it is run from there, then there is a concern. And that's where now the issue of the issue of sovereignty comes in, like what, you know, most politicians were concerned on the EVMs. So that is, and the third thing we are looking at, because we started to say there are four technologies that we need to have, you know, as far as our digitization is concerned, four technologies. Yesterday we did with data analytics, and now we are looking at the cloud technology. And the third thing that we are looking at is Internet of Things. Internet of Things is one, is actually the backbone of Fourth Industrial Revolution. So Internet of Things is the backbone. When you have devices that are connected to help you to complete your task. And when it comes to Internet of Things, we look at Internet itself. Internet must be everywhere, you know? Internet must be everywhere. And when you talk about Internet of Things, it shouldn't just be a private company thing, but it should be a government thing too, because the government provides an environment, you know, in terms of political will, or through a political will. The government provides, the government is actually the wheels towards where the country can go. So if government is lagging behind when it comes to transforming, if officers are lagging behind when it comes to transforming, then, you know, there will be a mismatch. And most of the countries that are advanced, they have a part to play. They have a role to play from a government point of view or from a government side of things to make sure that the country is industrialized. So they have a role to play. But if government lags behind, if you come to the point where you get into a school or you get into an office and computers and all the devices that are in that office are underutilized, then you have a problem. I think the problem is not really to say the African governments don't have infrastructure and facilities. The question could be, are we using those facilities the way they are supposed to be used? So are we using internet the way it is supposed to be used in the office? Is the office website or the ministry website resourceful? You know, how resourceful is the website? When last did there was, you know, a new information or notice, you know, posted on the website? That goes to data analytics. Do we have information on how many people we attend to? And is that information stored to the point that we can look at it 10 years from now? And we look at, you know, what has been done, or do we only operate in a way that when this person becomes a minister, they come and, you know, there is no continuity. There is no continuity between the previous government and the former government and the you know, the government of the day. There is no continuity. So where are those documents of the previous operations? Where are they? Where is that information? Where did they start? Where did they end? And how do we go from there? All that. Now, Internet of Things is a heartbeat of Fourth Industrial Revolution. It's a heartbeat. There will be no Fourth Industrial Revolution if Internet of Things is not involved. And even digitization will not be complete without Internet of Things. And Internet of Things seems to be a new concept. But from the way I see things, Internet of Things have already been with us. You know, where you have one level, at least the low level of Internet of Things is when you have, you know, you connect, you know, devices, computer and printer, communicating. Those are two devices connected together. Or your phone connected to a computer and or to a printer, you print. That's, you know, those are devices that are interconnected, that they, you know, they are working together, or industries. This thing comes from one machine to the other. They are interconnected. It's the Internet of Things, Internet of Machines. And we are approaching a situation where we'll have sensors, whether they are military, or of course in the military has gone ahead long time. They introduced drones and then sensors and then, you know, radar system, GPS, all that were, you know, a military or part of Internet of military things. But then with, you know, civil use,
it's Tuesday, oh my, and my fuel tank only has a drop of fuel, but I need to get my municipal bill at the post office. What do I do now?
Well, Ongwediva Town Council has just the solution, as it has commenced issuing municipal bills electronically through SMSs and emails, while gradually phasing out the traditional method of sending bills through post mails. Ongwediva residents with municipal accounts are expected to visit the office to verify and update their information during working hours from Monday to Friday before 30 June 2022. Property owners should bring along certified copies of their identity document and water bills. Receive your municipal bill on time and pay for services delivered for continued maintenance and development of Ongwediva Town. For further information, please contact our office at 065-233-700 or email us at inquiry@otc.com.na.
All right, we continue. So you have sensors, or you have precision farming under this one. You know, you will need cameras, robots, sensors connected together to be able to understand if a chicken has just dropped an egg somewhere. This egg must be picked and be brought to, you know, where the eggs are stored, or, you know, fruits that are ripening these fruits must be harvested. You need sensors that could do that, or robots that could do that, or, you know, you need drones that could send information to your device or to your phone, that at the other side of your farm, guavas are ripening, or, you know, apples are falling. They are ripening and they are falling from the tree, so they need to be picked up. And you are able to dispatch, you know, and at the same time, when it comes to watering or irrigation, precision irrigation, you will also need those sensors and drones so that you are able to take water where it's mostly needed to avoid wasting water, to avoid, you know, unnecessary, you know, watering even where water is not needed. And you are able to determine the correct amount of water that you need to water, you know, to for irrigation. That's how, that's the importance of Internet of Things. You are able to minimize risks, some failures, you are able to minimize them. Even feasibility studies. All right, there is a breaking news here, and let me give my colleague, Wanda here. Wanda.
Franz, good morning.
Morning.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Sorry, I need to interrupt your program, Franz. There's breaking news that has come through. Bishop Iso Ishono, the IPC member, I'm not quite sure whether it's of any relevance to announce to say that he's an IPC member. He's the person who was sued by the First Lady Monica Genkos, and then the court said that he was supposed to pay $250,000. And here on Eagle FM, Kelvin spoke to him. That was, I think, yesterday or on Tuesday, where he was appealing for help.
Yeah.
Now, the First Lady's lawyer, Sisa Namanje, has released a press statement where the First Lady said this. She has forgiven Bishop Ishono, but on condition that he is not going to do that to anyone anymore. Bishop Ishono said that he had raised about only $20,000 of the $250,000 that he was supposed to raise and pay the First Lady. But the First Lady says that her act to take him to court was not motivated by money. He just wanted to bring an end to bullying.
Mm-hmm.
But I will just share a paragraph of what the First Lady says here where she is forgiving Bishop Ishono. Now, she said that convinced that Mr. Ishono has now honestly, deeply, and genuinely indicated that he has wrongfully violated my rights and that of my family, and he acknowledges that he had absolutely no factual basis for the toxic statements he made, I've decided, upon careful consideration, not to enforce and execute the High Court judgment against Mr. Ishono, both in respect of the amount of 250,000 Namibia dollars that he was ordered to pay as compensation, and the recovery of my legal costs of approximately $400,000. This is, of course, on condition that Mr. Ishono permanently desists from engaging in slanderous butchery against my family or me. So the summary of all this is that the First Lady has listened to her heart and forgiven Bishop Ishono, and Ishono is not going to be asked to pay the $250,000 and costs as well. But for more of this, you can tune in on the radar between 1 and 2. So it's breaking news. You can also check the same on our social media pages. where we have been talking about this. And when Kevin covered this story, when we had a brief chat about it, I actually pointed out that the first lady is, you know, kind and that kind of thing. Mm. Now here comes the forgiveness.
Yeah.
So that is breaking news. You can follow more on this on our social media, and you can also follow on the radar, our midday news bulletin. Franz, that's about it.
All right, Wanda. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right. That was, of course, Wanda with the breaking news. It's a good news that there is, and you know, there's forgiveness, you know, that has been rendered to the bishop. Of course, those are the dangers of, you know, social media, you know, when it comes to bullies. You're just one finger away to destroy somebody's life or to put your life into problem. So you are just one finger away, one click away to do that. Of course, this is a developing story. I mean, it's a much of it you will hear. From the program on the radar. Now, Internet of Things, you know, contributes to the development in terms of the customer friendly, customer, you know, experience or customer personal experience. When a customer has a personal experience of, you know, the shop, for example, going into the shop, when you pick what you want, the camera already, you know, picks you up, and you go to the machine. It's cashierless. For example, you get a cashierless machines, and you also have a bot system that is, you know, equipped with natural language that will tell you that teller number 3 or teller number 4 is ready to receive a customer. So you keep moving there, and there's no human being on the teller. You just pay in, you put in your PIN, and then you walk out. There is also a camera out at the gate or at the door, you know, when at the entrance. So if you have taken something and put it in the pocket because you think, you know, the shop, there is no longer human, there are no longer, you know, human security officers. Once you get at the entrance, you will not be allowed to pass. You know, the door closes itself in front of you. You know, just the door slamming itself and locks because there is somebody with something in the pocket. And before you know, you know, you are in the hands of either the robotic police or human police that are going to deal with you. So that's Internet of Things, because the camera from the you know, the sensors from the shelves are communicating with the sensors from the entrance, and also the systems in the offices there, or the way at the other end where there is a human being watching everything. There's information is everywhere, so they know that you have taken something and you did not pay for it. Or they know that you have paid for it and you got your change, and then you go. So if there is any malfunctioning, they are able to fix it immediately. And all these things are driven then by artificial intelligence and machine learning, where machine learns to reason. You know, machine learning, when machines learn to reason like a human being. When, you know, the sensor slams at the door because you have taken something, the door slams itself because that's even that door is also a smart door. It's connected. So that's machine learning, and also that is artificial intelligence. If you want to be part of the conversation, 083-288-4001. Of course, there is a breaking news, and most of you maybe would want to, you know, participate, you know, and I don't want to preempt. Yeah, maybe you would want to also say something about that, you know, and at the same time also contributing to the discussion. You can do that since it's a breaking news, you know. But you can do that. How you feel about that breaking news. And the number in studio is 0832-888-401. Bishop is walking free now. He's no longer, you know, required to pay $250,000. And including, you know, it should be been including the cost. But yeah, he's no longer, you know, able to pay. He's no longer obliged to pay. He's forgiven. Sins are forgiven. So, you know the biblical say to say your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. You know, this is what is going on now with the bishop. Yes.
Hello, Frank.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, how are you?
Fine.
Yes.
Okay, to say well done to the Flon. But I'd wanted to give an example on the topic
yes.
of discussion.
Yes.
Just that somebody that I knew gave birth to her children in Italy.
Yeah.
And then because I think it's very expensive, you know, to raise children in Europe, she took them to Ghana, her homeland. So it so happened that when they were ready to start school, the government of Italy started asking them, the parents, like where the children were. Because I think they keep data when the children are born and they know when they are supposed to start school. So they had to send for the children from Ghana to come back to Italy to start school. So I just thought, you know, it's interesting with what you were just saying.
Yeah.
And that we as Africans need to learn a lot. And I was also impressed yesterday when I heard on the morning on Kevin's presentation that Nigeria was going to expect Google and the others to open offices in country.
Yeah,
so that I think they're able to get more from them instead of just, you know, having data or whatever it is in the country being used like that. So that's all I wanted to contribute, and I just thought it was interesting.
Thank you very much. You actually added a layer to the discussion.
You are most welcome, Frank.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Well, you can do the same. Yeah. You know, in other countries, they keep data. If you are born in a hospital, the chick computer devices, they are, or you are already recorded. And after 4 years or so, 5 years, 6 years, they say, okay, where are the children who were born? You know, they need to start school because they have a program for children to start school. It's compulsory. So where are those children? You know, but with us, everything is paper. And when the person who used to work with your paper is no longer there, is on leave, you have to wait until they come back from leave so that you may have that information. Now, the person that is dealing with your file is on leave. The person that is dealing with your docket is... There is nothing like that in Europe or in China. Once you are registered in the police, there is a police case, Every computer in China, as far as police is concerned, knows about you. So whether the person who deals with you, with your docket, dies today, tomorrow you've been caught. There's no time to waste. So if the person who dealt with your docket drops dead, somebody can be assigned because data is there. You know, data is there. But with us, when somebody who was dealing with your file goes to, you know, goes on leave, is in Hakafia, and you are supposed to be helped, you need to wait for the person to come from Hakafia to Windhoek to start work. So that's very, very important that we need to, you know, live up to the standard. We don't need to, when we are talking about, you know, fourth industrial revolution, while we could not manage with the third industrial revolution, I don't really understand what we are looking for, or what we really want. Because there are a lot of things in this industrial revolution that we are in, or we are, that we did not even fulfill. A lot of things that we did not even have. But we want to jump to fourth industrial revolution. Yes.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Morning.
How are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm okay.
Hmm.
Is it a FM radio? Ne?
Eagle FM, yes.
Okay. We are having a problem there. Maybe you guys, you can help us.
Mm-hmm.
We have been working for one company here in Swakop.
Okay, my brother, can you call? You know the number that you called, eh?
Yeah.
That it has a one at the end.
Or the same number, but it's having one at the end.
No, this number that you called is 401. Eh? So you remove that one, you add another zero, then you can call a 400 at the end. It should be 400. Then they'll pick you up and they will listen to you at the office.
Let me take a pen, then you give me that number, please.
Yeah.
Let me just have a pen quickly. Okay.
Yeah,
083-288-2888. Mm. Yes. 400. 400.
Yeah.
Okay, so I must call this one, eh?
Yeah, or 400 or 407.
400.
Or 407.
Oh. 407.
Yeah, at least try 083-288-407. That's direct number where the journalist can listen to you.
Okay, my brother.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Right. Right. Yeah, so I don't know what we talk about. We really want. I'm not pessimist. I'm not pessimistic, but I think we are missing a lot of things within the third industrial revolution, which we were supposed to have done well. A lot of people don't know how to click, who are in the office, and if they know how to click, they only know how to do. You know, even the computers that we have, we are even underutilizing the same thing, the devices that we have now, because there's not much, you know, information or, you know, education about what we have. And other countries have used the same computers, like what you were saying, that, you know, in Italy, not only Italy, but in many countries, you register and they keep the data. So we don't keep data. We steal paper and pen. Somebody writes and leave that thing there. Maybe the cleaner will come and she does not know whether this paper is very important. Throw a dustbin. Municipality comes and collect the rubbish. That's the end. So when you go there after a month, they cannot find it. So you have to refill the form again. And by the time you are through, you have already wasted enough money to buy a top score 50 kg in taxi. So that's a problem that we have here in Africa. Manual system and negligence in handling data. That's a problem. So, and I know that you know what I'm talking about. So by the time you are done, you know, by the time your form is processed, and by the time you see you get to the level where the lady in the office can now check on your computer, on their computer, which means at least information was entered in the computer or in the system. By the time you reach that level, the money that you have spent making copies and coming to those offices is enough to buy 50 kg of maize meal to, if not four, three houses in your village. All right, we still have a few minutes if you want to be part of the conversation. 083-238-401, ending by 12. And we still have a few minutes to go. And of course, if you want to contribute to the bishops, acquittal or forgiveness, our programs are coming. There is On the Radar, there is, you know, Onkundana Dingi, and, you know, there is much more. There's much more hours that way you can, you know, give your contribution. It's a good thing. But I can also allow you one or two people, you know, to just, since this breaking news was broken, you know, here on my show and this program, if you feel you want to say one or two sentences, you know, to that, you are also still welcome. It's 6 minutes to go. So negligence in the handling of data. Sometimes you may have, you know, cloud facility, you may have information, you may have, but it comes to that, it boils down to, you know, whether people who are handling this data and information are responsible. So how quick does this data, you know, how quick does it get to be processed? You know, how quick does it get to be processed? Right. We will be going for a short break. And then we'll be continuing. I'll come and say my goodbyes after a short break.
To our valued listeners and all Namibians, we are living in unprecedented times which have seen some extraordinary steps being taken. Some of which have suspended the most basic of human rights.
And this is because for the first time ever since our country won its independence, we have been hit by a dangerous virus, which is a threat to our livelihoods, the COVID-19.
The situation calls for us not to panic, but to work together and eradicate the spread of the virus. At Eagle FM, we urge you to always wash your hands with soap or use hand sanitizers.
Limit or avoid travel and respect our laws and obey authority.
We have the answer and we will fight this the Namibian way. As Namibians, together, as one Namibia, one nation. Let's stand together against COVID-19.
Hello Namibia. Indira pamanate muyuni walela pe. Lela pe onkaro ompu wa mafutiro no kuthisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongondi hokatavuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka go paipindi no taga dhana no kutuwa mbepo ethimbo ojo tu njoka. Otovuru okuningashike ko lela pe. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mbepo tarongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka lela pei nenge utere moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya wedhapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goe. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goe vinima ya yoroka. Ngashi omatumaraka goru kozi, omatumaraka goma hiyo, omatumaraka goma harero ya mbeku goma varo, no matumaraka goku arukehe ngoka wahara uteithere oshiwana ashikesho monamibia okuza warapo doranda tu mithiringa itano metumaraka kehe. Lela pei oharongo ngini. Konga oka epa ko lela pei ko Play Store nenge ko App Store eto katura kakarekeri mongo dioe. Paturura o akauntae oshari eto turamo omaothemba goe. Inda ko kanjato koe kimariwa eto turako oshimariwa to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhithe. Shampa wa mana okuturamo omaothemba goe hogora kucha wahara okurungitha ehangano nenge ovendaini o Eagle FM nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe eto sindi mpoka kwa shangwa send utume. Shamba watumu etumaraka joe otari turu wako Eagle FM, imba, lela pei, nenge kwa The Villager. Ouna ishwe ompito yokuturako irongwa moyoe yokomake. Tumina inimawe ko digital etomalaiti.com notai urikwa menderero. Opo ukare waguza kukara ndithi, tudengera nena kono rahetatu imwe, mbari nora, ndatu ngoi, hamano, ndatu ndatu, nenge kono rahetatu imwe, ndatu mbari, hetatu, 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 ne, no nora yeriari. Lela pei, imo nena, nena, tai adhika ko App Store, no ko Google Play Store.
Right, and you know, my time is coming to a halt. Yes.
Being circumcised keeps it clean and reduces a man's risk of getting sexually transmitted infections, including HIV. It's safe and it's free. Man up, get the smart cut. To book for a free circumcision or to find out more, WhatsApp 081-309-2729. Or visit us on Facebook at VMMC Namibia.
All right. And my time to say goodbye has really come. And I'm saying, look, we are the reason why we are not developing. It's not because we don't have the right infrastructure in front of us. It is either we have the wrong people using the infrastructure, or we are using those infrastructures wrongly, and therefore we are not getting the results that we are supposed to get. So we are at a strategic position, you know, to become one of the fastest growing economies. But it is either we have employed the wrong patterns and wrong application and maybe wrong people and all that. But when it comes to data, you know, we are negligent to the point that people keep wasting money, you know, coming to the offices. And you cannot find the file. You cannot find the paper because somebody misplaced it. Or somebody just put it on the table, leave it there. When the cleaner comes in the office, she doesn't know what is the paper is. She just thinks it's a, you know, it's a one of those paper that you have thrown. Take it to the dustbin. And municipality, you know, collection comes, take it to the dumping site. The dumping site is on fire. That's the end of your document. And by the time you go back to the office after a month, you are told to give again those documents because they cannot be found. And by the time you reach the point where they are checking on the system, which means your documents are entered in the system at least, you have already spent money enough to buy 50 kgs of maize meal at three houses in your village. So that's how much money you should have spent in taxi and in making copies, you know, because somebody's negligent with data. And so as long as we are negligent with data, we are going to move very slow in terms of even what we are talking about fourth industrial revolution, because that is a data-driven, revolution. But let me end it here. That's some hard truth there. Dwight.
Franz.
Yes.
Yeah, I was about to ask a hard truth from you as well. You know, when, you know, when are we finishing? You know,
Don't ask me that question.
How are you doing, Franz?
Good. How's it?
I'm all right. It's good to see that you're talking about people who forget about their paperwork. It's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's data, you know, by, you know, if you open a case with the, you know, police and the person was dealing with your docket, he's in a hakafia for leave.
Mm.
In many cases, you have to wait for that person to come back, because things are still manual.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if something is on the database, on the computer system, somebody can be assigned to carry out with that, because, you know, it can still be found.
Mm.
Yeah. So we need to transform to, you know, a data-driven, a digital society.
Mm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Franz, for my discussion, we are still going to look at how relevant is customer service in this new year? Mm-hmm. I know, Franz, you and I, we have these discussions because even you, yourself, you make use of people who provide some form of customer service.
Yeah.
We daily do it in terms of who we bump into, but looking in the broader picture, is it still relevant? Does it still matter?
Yeah.
Is it still a factor?
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be looking at for the session.
All right, Dwight, let me go. I've already taken enough of your time.
Thank you, Franz.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Inba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message. Type it out and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. available in the App Store and Google Play.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
Or social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM.
The first free-range eggs produced and packaged in Ondangwa, Walenga eggs, are now available in...